Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yeshua, you are awesome. Thank you for this day and this opportunity to bring honor and glory to your name. Come and speak through me today. Teach the people through these words that I share. If there's anything from me, Lord, just wipe it from their memories and let only those words that you want them to hear penetrate into their beings, their very hearts, and become rhema, life-changing words to them. We love you, Yeshua. You're awesome. You're faithful. And we lift up your awesome name today. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Well, welcome to Lots of Love Ministries. Today, I'm going to be sharing on being a stumbling block. Don't be a stumbling block. The influence of Christians in the world is a powerful thing. Our actions, words, and attitudes have the potential to both draw people to Christ and push them away. Yeshua had strong words for the religious leaders of his day, who, through their hypocrisy and legalism, were not only failing to enter the kingdom themselves, but were also actively preventing others from doing so. In 1 Samuel 16:7, we're reminded that while people judge based on outward appearance, God sees what's truly important. That's the heart. The Pharisees, with their meticulous tithing and outward piety, may have looked righteous to others, but Yeshua saw their hearts full of hypocrisy and greed. He even called them whitewashed sepulchres full of dead men's bones. I don't think I want to be called that by the Lord. How about you? As Christians, we must be aware that it's possible to look good on the outside while being far from God on the inside. That is what we call Christian in name only. In Matthew 23, Yeshua pronounced seven woes upon the Pharisees. Some of the reasons for these woes are that they shut the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. They refused to enter themselves and prevented others from doing so through their legalism and burdensome rules. They traveled over land and sea to make a single convert and then made them twice as much a child of hell as themselves. They were zealous in their evangelism, but the fruit of their efforts was not true disciples of Yeshua or even the God that they knew as the Jewish God, Yahweh, but rather disciples of their own false system. They tithed even their spices, but neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. Their focus on minor external details allowed them to ignore the truly important things. In Romans 2:24, Paul writes that the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of the behavior of the Jews. When those who bear God's name live in hypocrisy, it profanes the name of God and keeps unbelievers from coming to faith. For example, when a Christian is caught in a scandal, it damages the reputation of all Christians and can keep unbelievers from taking Christianity seriously. In Romans 14, 13 to 23, Paul urges the strong not to put stumbling blocks or obstacles in the way of the weak. While all things may be lawful for us, not all things are beneficial. Think about that. We must be aware of how our actions impact others and strive to build up rather than tear down. It really isn't about what you can do or are allowed to do. It is about how what you choose to do and how it affects others around you. For instance, a Christian who drinks alcohol freely may not realize the struggle this could cause for a fellow believer who is a recovering alcoholic. So you can drink a glass of wine with your dinner or after dinner. But is drinking that wine causing a brother or sister to fall? Wouldn't it be better to refrain from drinking in their presence than flaunt your freedom in their faith? You do not want to be the cause of someone falling off the wagon, do you? Wouldn't it be better to show them love and support by not drinking in their presence or even talking about the subject? A Christian who flaunts their wealth and materialism may create envy and discontent in others. Advertising your wealth can open the door to thieves. This is shown in the story of Hezekiah found in 2 Kings 20. We read about how some visitors from Babylon came and gave Hezekiah gifts. And most likely in pride, he showed them all of his stuff. Hey, look what I have here. Look what I have here. Look at all my armor. Look at all my wealth. After they left, Prophet Isaiah came and asked what they had seen. And Hezekiah told him, everything. I didn't avoid showing them anything. I showed them all my stuff. And Isaiah was like, oh, man. Now the Lord says that one day those same Babylonians, they'll come and take all your stuff and even some of your sons. He was, man, what did you do? Dude, that was foolish. Now you open the door to them to come and take it all. But you see, it isn't necessary or even wise to advertise how well off you are. Choose rather to live a modest lifestyle. Support the kingdom with tithes and offerings. Leave an inheritance for your kids and grandchildren. Legalism is also a stumbling block to many. When we add extra rules and regulations to the gospel, we risk turning people away from the grace of God and fail to meet their needs for salvation, healing, and deliverance. This might be seen in a church where extreme standards of dress or behavior are imposed, but also in many churches, they expect a certain standard of behavior. While there's pros to modest dress, we are commanded to dress modestly, especially with women, in 1 Timothy 2:9. Because in church, modest dress can create an environment where the focus is on God and His Word rather than on ourselves and others. When we avoid revealing or attention-seeking clothing, we help ensure that the attention of others is not diverted from what's truly important. And notice I said revealing or attention-seeking clothing. Revealing clothing can be attention-seeking, but there's other things that people may wear to church that may engender attention, like political slogans on clothes or certain things that they like. It can become a distraction. In church and in the world, during your daily activities, modest dress shows respect for others. It communicates that you care for those around you and will not be a stumbling block by opening a door to lust, envy, or even idolatry. You want to point people to Yeshua in all that you do, not draw attention to yourself. And wearing politically charged clothing, even in public, let alone the church, can cause strife, can open the door to arguments and violence. And things that you may like music, if it's not godly, it could cause confusion in your brothers and sisters or in those who are unbelievers who are seeking. They're like, you have this thing, you're advertising a satanic band on your t-shirt. Aren't you a Christian? So now, by wearing that, you become a stumbling block. There's also some cons to legalistic dress codes. When we impose strict dress codes, we risk giving the impression that it's our outward appearance that makes us acceptable to God. This is the very thing Yeshua condemned the Pharisees for in Matthew 23. Legalistic dress codes can make others feel unwelcome. If someone visits a church and fills out a place due to strict dress code, they may be less likely to return. We should strive to create an environment where those in need feel welcome, regardless of how they're dressed. Improper dress just shows that a person has needs, and we should all be meeting those needs, not changing how they dress. So whether in public or in the church, we should be careful about how we dress or what we say about how people dress. An overemphasis on dress can distract from the true issue of the heart. While our outward appearance should reflect the inward change that's occurred in our lives, it's possible to look modest on the outside while being full of pride, greed, or all manner of evil on the inside. So there has to be a balance here. We must balance freedom and responsibility. The Holy Spirit will guide each of us on how we should dress if we let Him. We do not need to be Holy Spirit to others, lest we inadvertently become a stumbling block. And while there's freedom in Christ to dress as we please, we should always consider how our attire impacts others. Let's seek to dress in a way that builds up and doesn't tear down. Let's be mindful of the context. What may be appropriate in one setting may not be appropriate in another. A bathing suit, for example, it's appropriate at the beach or in the swimming pool, but in church or the office, not so appropriate. Above all, let's remember that while our attire may affect how others perceive us, it's the heart that ultimately matters. Let's seek to adorn ourselves with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in God's sight, according to 1 Peter 3:4. Judgmentalism and gossip within the church will also cause others to stumble. When Christians are at each other's throats, it creates an environment where the wounded and seeking will not want to come. Heck, I do not want to go to a church where I'm constantly judged and criticized or gossiped about. You don't know a person's past, and neither should you. Digging in a person's past is not your job. People stop asking people to explain their past and give you answers into who they were before they came. Stop it. The past is in the past. The future is now. We are to know one another by the Spirit and treat them with honor and respect. What does it mean to know another by the Spirit and treat them with honor and respect? We're supposed to realize, are they of the devil or are they of the Lord? If they're Christians and they have the Holy Spirit living in them, the Spirit should witness with the Spirit in you. And that should be enough. If they are born again and have the Holy Spirit, forget about their past. Who cares what's in their past? We've all have a past. We've all done things that we're ashamed of. But if they're born again, they've repented. And God does not remember their past sins. So why should they have to talk about everything in the past? If people want you to know, they'll share. Even things that are not considered sins. A lot of people are very private people. And they've learned to be so because in their past, people have used information against them. So they're kind of leery of sharing who they were or who they are. They got to get to know you first. They got to see how you treat them. Are you treating them with honor and respect? Or are you going to be a stumbling block to them, judging them or misjudging them? You don't know what you don't know. Trust me. Just accept people for who they are. As Christians, we're called to live not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. This should radically impact how we view and treat others. In 2 Corinthians 5:16-17, Paul writes that he no longer regards anyone from a worldly point of view. Though he once knew Christ according to the flesh, he no longer does. This is how we are to regard everyone, not by their outward appearance, achievements, or circumstances, but as new creations in Christ. You know, I don't even know scripture. I can't even find a scripture that says Yeshua asked anybody about their past. I remember a scripture where someone asked Yeshua, whose sin caused this person to have this sickness, this ailment? Was it his parents or was it him? And Yeshua said neither, because that wasn't the issue. We don't want to dig into people's past and try to figure out why they are the way they are. We want to love them. If they have the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit will tell them what they need to change, what they need to say, with all this stuff. And we don't need to be their Holy Spirit. In John 4, 1 through 30, Yeshua interacted with the Samaritan woman. And despite the fact that she was a Samaritan and lived an immoral lifestyle, after all, she had 5 husbands, and the one she was currently living with wasn't even her husband. They weren't even married. But Yeshua treated her with kindness, respect, and dignity. He saw her not as something to be judged, but as someone to be loved and sought. This should be our attitude towards all. This doesn't mean we don't recognize sin or condone it. It just means that we understand that a person in sin is a person in need of Yeshua first. And then they may need healing and deliverance. They may need help getting free from the bondage they are in, or they may just not know that they are in sin. Some people aren't taught that certain behavior is against God's standard. They're taught wrong. And we have a lot of people being taught wrong about gender issues in this day and age. And they think it's okay. But Yeshua treats everyone with love and respect, and so should we. Because our first focus should be to see someone set free. Yeshua came to set everyone free. And who the Son sets free is free indeed. So when we do point out sin, it must be in love, with respect and honor for that person, because they are made in God's image. Every person we meet bears the image of God. This gives them inherent value and worth. Regardless of their background, beliefs, or behavior, we're to treat all with honor and respect because of the inherent dignity they possess as image bearers of God. In 1 Peter 2:17, we're commanded to honor everyone. This is only possible as we recognize the image of God in them. Let's seek to know others, not by their outward appearance, but by the Holy Spirit. Let's see them as God sees them, as beloved children with infinite worth. They may be in sin today, but if we treat them with the honor and respect and dignity that they deserve as human beings made in the image of God, tomorrow they may decide to come out of that sin and be set free. So let's treat every person we meet with honor and respect. Let's be the kind of people who bring out the best in others rather than tearing them down. And let's remember the way we treat others is the way we treat Christ. In Matthew 25, 31 through 46, Yeshua teaches that as we do to the least of these, his brothers and sisters, we do to him. Let's strive to treat all as if they were Christ himself. Even the unsaved. This is a thought that we must selah on, meditate on this. How can we treat an unbeliever steeped in sin like Christ? Well, how about like Christ treated us? While we were yet sinners, God died for us. Yeah. So they're in sin. Let's love them out of that sin. Amen. Let's lead them to the Lord in love and respect, not in a pushy, demanding way, because that could be a stumbling block. If you criticize someone or insult them or get in their face and say, "You're in sin, repent, sinner," that may actually be a stumbling block and turn them off. It may make them hard to come to the saving knowledge of Yeshua. Don't be a stumbling block. The world is watching. Our lives are a witness for or against Christ. Let's strive to live in such a way that we draw others to Him rather than push them away. Let's examine our hearts, making sure we're not merely cleaning the outside of the cup while the inside remains filthy. Let's seek to live lives of genuine faithfulness, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. Let us always consider how our actions impact others. Let's seek to be wise in our freedom and never be the cause of a brother or sister stumbling in their faith or the cause of an unbeliever rejecting our Lord and Savior. And remember that we can only do this through the help and guidance of Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit every day. Start your day asking Him to fill you afresh and empower you for that day to be the kind of person He wants you to be, to speak the words He wants you to speak. Bless those He wants you to bless and accomplish the goals that He wants you to accomplish. Let Him teach you how to live a life worthy of emulation, where your name is good and people are led to Christ as they spend time in your sphere of influence. May we be able to say with Paul, "Follow me as I follow Christ." We want to be people who draw unbelievers into a personal relationship with Yeshua and build one another up. We want to empower each other to fulfill our God-ordained destinies. Being a stumbling block is counterproductive to those goals. Pray and ask Holy Spirit to put His finger on areas in your life where you are causing others to stumble. And this week, make a commitment to remove those stumbling blocks. Yeshua will help you if you are willing. And He may ask you to get rid of some clothes, some controversial t-shirts that when you wear, become a stumbling block to your brothers and sisters in the church or to unbelievers in the street. We don't want to advertise things if it's going to be a stumbling block. For some, it may not be a stumbling block, but we must be careful about what we wear, what we say, what we do, and who we're doing it in front of. Whether it's our brothers and sisters in the church, our neighbors, our friends, our family members, or strangers in the marketplace, we must be aware of how we're conducting ourselves and whether we're becoming a stumbling block to someone. It doesn't mean that we have to be worried all the time about being a stumbling block and walking on eggshells, but it's something that we need to be aware of and think about. And if we're praying each day for the Holy Spirit's guidance to live a life that brings honor and glory to Him that day, then every day should be lived that way. And not we won't be a stumbling block. So don't be a stumbling block. Be one that encourages people to come to saving knowledge of Yeshua, to repent and be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's be ones that empower our brothers and sisters in the church and our neighbors and friends and family to be all that they can be, to fulfill their God-ordained destinies. Amen? Well, I hope this has been a blessing and encouragement to you. Let's close in prayer. Father, forgive us for being a stumbling block to others. Show us what actions, attitudes, words, and even clothes we wear may be causing problems for others. While we understand that our Christian faith is offensive to many, we do not want to be a stumbling block to our brothers and sisters, or to those who wish to know you as their personal Lord and Savior. Give us wisdom and help us to treat each other with honor, respect, and love. Help us to be willing to refrain from those things that trip others up and keep them and us from fulfilling our destiny in you. You have a wonderful destiny for each human being you create. Let us be one who's empowering that destiny in ourselves and others. Bless and keep us this week, and may we bring honor and glory to your name every day in all that we say and do. Amen. Thanks for being here today. Have a safe and blessed week. Until next time, Shalom in your home.